life, sex, goals, and oh, hell knows, this is Midlife Craving. Wait, really quick, Uncle Mo, do you hear that?
Hear what?
Neither do I. My life has the most incredible amount of peace, and holy shit, I am absolutely enjoying it. Uncle Mo, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me back. It's great. Listen, honestly, I didn't know if I ever wanted to come back on the show. I didn't know if it was my thing, but you had this recent situation and we talked a lot about the whole process, and this had to happen.
Yes. And listen, you are a very popular guest. I know my show is a lot about sex, but it's also about improving and empowering and growing and changing. And you're a big part of that. So I kind of need you here.
Thank you. That was really crazy what happened to you.
I know.
There. I mean, you know, not just you, but for your daughter too. I mean, I have my own opinions on what happened, and we won't even get into that.
I know.
That's not part of it. But the one thing I wanted to do is I just wanted to make sure I stepped up and I was a solid friend to help keep you
Thank
sane
you.
During a time frame that you were pretty much held captive.
I know. It was insane.
Yeah,
and thank
nuts.
You for that.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
So yeah, a lot has changed since you've been here on the show. I mean, it's been a month. It's been a whole month, by the way. You know, the other day it was the 15th and I was like, holy shit, 30 days ago I tested positive for COVID. Like my life got flipped upside down. Like, and I swear it feels like 6 months ago. It really does. And speaking of that, like you just said, like the support that you gave me, like thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a good friend and solid support when I was down there in the Bahamas, because it was rough.
I can't imagine what it's like. I've been alone by myself before. I know where my mind goes. I can't imagine like where your brain was going all those days. And the
it was
only
wild.
Thing I was thinking about was a promise that you did make to me on this show, or maybe somewhere else, is that you told me that you were going to start to work on your core values.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, now's the time.
Yes.
This is how we're going to do this. This is how you're going to get through it.
Yes. And you really helped me so much. Like, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to share is like when, and we're going to break it down in a little bit, but you know, you knew how incredibly stressed I was. And you were like, all right, let's focus day to day on one thing. And you had me come up every day because it was 10 days. And you were like, I want you to come up with 10 core values,
yeah,
one
actually,
a day.
It actually worked out like mathematically perfect. Yeah. Because I think the first time I told you that, I said, I'm really solid on 10, but I've got like 20.
Yeah.
But you were like, well, I'll work on mine. I just need some time to think about it. And I'm like, well, guess what? You ain't leaving your room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now's the time to do it.
And you reminded me every morning, like you like texted me and were like, what's your core value today? And so I had to take a moment to like think about it and, you know, go through what I wanted it to be and then tell you about it. And that really helped me. It also just helped break up the days. And you would say to me, you were like, 6 days left, girl, you got this. 4 days left, you're golden. Like, you know, and it helped me because it was like, I was down there alone. Like it was a lot, you know? So it helped me like the next, I was like, all right, I got to think about core value the next day. Like, you know, it helped me.
I'll tell you what. I remember the first day, and when it went to 9, I said, you got through one day.
Yeah.
I never said, you got 9 more to go.
Can I tell you really
quick?
You
got through one. And that was important.
Yes, you're right.
The first day is the first step.
Yeah.
Don't look at the whole stairwell. Just mm-hmm. look at where you got, what steps you have to take. You got through the first one. That's where I was like, actually, like, I think this is going to work.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to, like, jump off the balcony.
I know.
You know?
I appreciate you for keeping me sane, but I'm gonna share this story because one of the funniest things you do is you text me. It was day 7, I remember, and you text me just simply go, "I can't believe you're still there."
Yeah.
I remember I sent you a video back. I go, "Bitch, you can't believe I'm still there. I can't believe I'm still here." Right. Like, what the fuck? I was like, "It's been 7 days. I'm still here." But it was so funny how you were just like, "I can't believe you're still there."
And also, listen, you talked about it on your last episode, Jill in Virginia.
Yes. Ugh.
Boy, did she really come through for
I know.
You? That
my
was
family.
A blessing. That's such a blessing. Had she not decided to go on a vacation that weekend,
I
right?
Know.
Like, holy smokes, that's amazing. And then I was like, well, this kind of makes my job easier.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Let's talk about good. Jill and all the amazing things she's doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, are you starting to see the big picture now? Like, the world is opening up for you and they're really focusing on you and trying to help you get through this situation.
Yeah.
And it worked. It really opened you up and caused you from not going completely insane, stuck in a hotel room.
Listen, I definitely made the most of it. You know, the first 48 hours, though, that was not that I was a fucking hot mess. Like, I was really stressed out, but I snapped myself out of it. And then meeting Jill, totally 180. Like, because to be honest with you, it was mostly about like, okay, my daughter is going to be taken care of. If something happens, Jill can take her home. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, that was my biggest concern when I was down there. I was like, oh, fuck, like, I'm responsible for her. And what if I get really sick? I'm in a third world country, like, you know. Right. But anyway, I just want to say, like, if there was ever a time I needed you, Uncle Mo, it was those 10 days and you came through for me. Awesome. So thank you so much.
I'll be there for a million more.
Thank you. All right. So it's time for my 5-minute orgasm. My 5-minute orgasm is where I unload all the things going on in my life. And for this one, I'm just going to focus on one man and one man only, Baywatch. Okay. So I hadn't seen Baywatch since before New York City. So like early August, and I was fiending, let me tell you. So he lives about an hour away and we both wanted to fuck some shit up. So we planned like our first little sleepover. And it was so funny, Uncle Mo, because I was like, listen, I don't cuddle. I was like, I'm not a cuddler. So like, you don't have to worry about that. Like, you know. So he comes over and we catch up really quick and we get it on. And I wanted to try this new blowjob technique I saw. So I watched this girl suck dick, right? And she didn't use any hands. So it was like a hands-free blowjob or whatever. And it was also like very slow. But what was key here is she was like focusing on her tongue and the underside of the head. And I've preached that before. The way she sucked this guy's dick, it was like she would slowly like suck his dick and then like stick her tongue out and then lick a lot when she pulled back. It sounds kind of funny. So like she would put the head of his dick in her mouth. And then as she pulled back, she like opened her mouth up a little bit and then would like her tongue was like going crazy on the underside of his dick. So I was like, well, that's a nice way to like suck a dick. Anyway, I tried it and he loved it. And I really wanted to finish him that way. But listen, like, I'm fucking greedy. Okay. Like, I need penetration. Like, I need to be fucked. So, of course, the next thing he does is like go down on me and he loves it. God bless him for that. And then like all hell starts breaking loose. So he's like nailing me, choking me, grabbing me. And we finish. We keep going back to like the sideways position. Have you ever fucked someone like that before?
Possibly.
Okay. Anyway, so like the sideways position that I'm like craving all the time now, and we're laying there like completely out of breath. Like we're like, like that's the way sex should end. I swear to God, like that's, I won't settle for less. And he goes, get dressed. And I was like, he goes, I want to go buy a cock ring and we can use it. And I'm like, say less, motherfucker. So I'm like, let's fucking go. And by the way, did you know that CVS, Walmart's, Target, they sell cock rings and vibrators? Do you know that?
I go to CVS. It's my pharmacy. So I go there for other things.
Yeah, like so I didn't believe him. And he was like, you know, Adrian, we can just go to CVS. And I was like, they don't fucking sell those. He was like, they do. But anyways, I was like, no, I know of a great sex shop down the street. Let's fucking go there. I'm not worried about it. But I will tell you this. I went to Target a couple days ago and I was like, I sent him a text. I go, I beg your fucking pardon, because guess what? There's fucking cock rings and vibrators in the fucking like condom aisle. I'm like, what the hell? So it's funny. I sent him a message and I was like, listen, I didn't believe you. I was like, so now I need to be punished. I was like, I need you to think of like punishments that you can do to me because of this. He actually Snapchatted me earlier and he was like, I got a couple coming towards you. He's like, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, oh God, I don't care. I'll let him do whatever he wants to do. But anyway, so back to it. So we go to the, we're headed to the sex shop or whatever. And what was so like, and I've fucked him, you know, and he's been in my house and stuff, but we haven't really, and we did like go out a little bit, but like, I don't know, this time just felt different because he was like staying the night. You know what I mean?
Comfortable.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So we get in the car and he's like, we got to put some music on. So he's like playing music.
Was it Van Halen?
No, he like listens to all kinds of shit. And so he's like singing to me.
I only want to know if it was Van Halen.
I'm sure he would pick something like that, but he was just picking like all these random songs. Like there was this one J. Cole song he was singing to me, but he was singing to me like the top of his lungs. And I was just like, his fucking spirit, it's amazing. Like he is free. He doesn't give a fuck what anyone thinks about him. He was singing to me. He was dancing and he was like, come on, Adrian, let's go, girl. And like, we're driving to the sex shop. Like, I'm like, this guy's fucking awesome. Like his spirit is very refreshing to be around. So anyway, we go to the store and I mean, there were so many cock rings to choose from. Me personally, I've never fucked with a cock ring before. So I'm like, do we do this? And then I'm thinking to myself, like, listen, I could have ordered this from Adam and Eve if you would have fucking told me, but whatever.
Wait a minute. This is at Walmart or this is...
No, we went to the sex shop.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't following. So
I didn't believe him.
Walmart has like a aisle of cock rings. Like, no. Could I try a couple on?
Listen.
Go like, into the dressing room.
Target hat. I didn't see him at Walmart, but I saw them at Target. Like Target has cock rings and vibrators. So anyway, so we're in the sex shop. And we're like checking out all these other things. And we're also like checking out other contraptions. I highly recommend 10 out of 10, like taking your partner to a sex shop. It's so fun. But he found like he was finding all these things. He was like, I'm going to make that. I want to do that to you. And I was like, OK. But it was just, it was a lot of fun. So we end up going and we get a cock ring or whatever. So I'm like, let's go. Let's get it on. While we're talking about sex toys, though, really quick. I, you know, of course I was like, I have to go to Adam and Eve and get, I have to order some of this stuff because that's what I do. And so I ended up ordering on adamandeve.com the Satisfyer Power Ring. So I'm going to try that cock ring out.
And it then, sounds like a level you earn. I know. Like,
what? They're like, all have funny names.
Are you the middleweight champion? No, I'm the Satisfyer.
Ding, ding, motherfucker. So I also got a Fleshlight Quick Shot Stroker. So I'm going to use that on him. Like, it's like this, like, clear, like, it's like a mini Fleshlight. So I'm going to jerk him off with that. So I ordered that too.
Poor guy.
I know, right? And then, so I'm excited to try those. And I just want to tell you, you can check out their selection as well. I mean, hey, get yourself a cock ring, you know? Go to adamandeve.com and use the code CRAVERS, CRAVERS, and get 50% off of one of most of all of their items. You're going to get 3 free gifts and access to 6 movies, Brown Chicken, Brown Cow, and free shipping, you know? That's code CRAVERS, CRAVERS. ERS at adamandeve.com. So get yourself a fucking cock ring. Try it out. So listen, so after we got our cock ring, we went and got drinks. And listen, you actually got to meet Baywatch.
Yeah, it was I was right down the street.
Right.
And I had a little bit of time. So yeah, I got to
know.
Meet him.
He's
so,
real.
So hold on. Time out.
Okay.
Nicknames. Nicknames always come into your world, right?
I know.
I walked in and I was wanting to meet Zac Efron for the first time in my life, or David Hasselhoff, or whoever else has been on Baywatch. I wanted to meet Pamela Anderson. I didn't.
I'm sorry to disappoint
I met some other guy, and I was like, hey, buddy.
Some tall little hot guy. Mm.
I was like, I kind of thought you'd be somebody else, but no, you're just like a normal dude, so.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
He's a good guy. He's funny too, isn't he?
He's actually a very good person.
He is.
And I'm pretty happy to say that I had a beer with him and got to know him. And you guys
so
have your
back.
Own little lifestyle that, you know, a lot of us aren't around. But he's a really nice person.
But I was going to say, like, hanging around us, it's not like we're like a weird couple. We're not a couple. Like,
not
we're
at
just
all.
Partying, hanging out. Like, it's,
not at
that's
all.
What I'm saying. It's so laid back with him. I fucking
it's
gotta love
it's
got to
be refreshing for
it
him.
Is. Oh, my God. It so is. So after we got drinks and met up with you, we actually went. His cousins lived down the street. And we went there and drank beers. And I mean, I was having a fucking blast. And it's funny, his cousin has this awesome garage. And in there is like a bunch of gym stuff, like a weight bench. He actually has like one of those fucking like Top Gun, like arm wrestling tables. You know what I'm talking about? So listen, so I mean, I'm like fucking 12 beers in. I'm like, let's bench press. Like, watch me. And so I'm like bench pressing, doing all this shit. Like, they're like, oh my God, look how much you can lift. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking Hercules. Listen. Okay, so I'm like lifting all this stuff. And then I was like, I'm going to arm wrestle you. I mean, I have no chance against these guys. These big men.
So it's not Top Gun. It's Over the Top. It's Over the Top is the movie. And I love that movie. It's Sylvester Stallone.
Yes!
And he drove a truck.
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
And his kid was with him. And he turned his hat backwards.
Yes, backwards.
Once he turned his hat backwards, you're
done.
Game over. You're done.
Okay, I had the wrong.
So Top Gun is a movie about a plane with Tom Cruise. And there was Iceman. And Talk to Me Goose.
Why didn't you tell me this?
I was letting you go.
Okay, all right.
Just keep going.
Oh my God, that is so fucking funny. Well, listen. I lost in Top Gun. I can't believe I fucking said that, but I can. You know, Sylvester Stallone, that's my man. That's my
If you
Rocky.
Said, like, hey, look, we just met you. We had a couple drinks with you, and we hung out with our cousins. We flew F-16s. I would have been like, what the hell? How come I wasn't invited? But no, we went to an arm wrestling tournament with a machine. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad I went home and went to sleep.
Okay, listen, I'm getting hot. All right, listen. I just want to tell you, so we, like, the next day, I felt like I was in a fucking car accident. My chest was so sore. My biceps were screaming. It was fucking funny. But we come back to the house, and it was like a fucking blur, okay? And I will tell you, one of the things that I love that he did, he, like, picked me up, threw me on the countertop, because he's really tall. And it was, like, perfect height, me sitting on the counter. And we were just, like, making out. It was, like, hot kissing. I remember that. We were both pretty drunk at that point. But, so we go upstairs, and I don't know what was happening. At one point, he was, like, walking around my house naked, and I was like, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? But, I when you're having, like, that drunk sex, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it becomes, like, a blur. So I remember I was laying on the side of my bed, and I was on top, and, like, this cock ring was just, like, vibrating, and I was like, I'm not moving because it feels too good on my clit. I was like, I'm gonna come right now. I was like, and he was like, do whatever you gotta do. Like, he is so fucking laid back. So, like, but I remember it was hot. So it was my first time with a cock ring, and I liked it. I definitely had an orgasm from that fucking thing. It was a nice one. It had, like, a vibrator on top or whatever. It was so cute. I'm just remembering when we got back in the car, he was like, let's charge this motherfucker up. I'm like, let's fucking do it, bitch. And he just has that attitude. He's so fucking happy-go-lucky. It's honestly really refreshing to be around.
It's got to be refreshing.
It is. It really is. I mean, he's so young, he's not damaged yet.
Right. Give it time.
Give it 20 years, right?
Give it time.
I know. So anyway, so we just, like, fucked each other until, like, we were just, like, I don't even remember even going to bed. Like, we just fucked each other senselessly and passed out. All right, so here was the best time when it comes to Baywatch of this weekend. And then I'm going to wrap up this orgasm, I promise, but I got to talk about this because it was so hot. All right, so I, like, wake up.
This is like your fucking 9-hour orgasm.
I know.
It's possible.
It was, but I had the best fucking time with him. And let me tell you something. I got to talk about, this was the hottest sex that we've had yet. So I wake up and I'm like, my head was screaming. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm going to die. So I, like, popped ibuprofen. I get back in bed and, like, a little bit of time went away, and he started, like, waking up or whatever. And he just, like, comes up from behind me and, like, wraps me up. Cause he's, like, you met him. He's real big and tall. He, like, wraps me up. And my favorite thing to do is, like, I'm not a big cuddler, like I said, but he was, like, spooning me. And I felt, like, this big, hard cock on my back. And I was like, oh, fuck yes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know. I love morning sex. Morning sex is where it's at for me.
You're like, why did you bring a roller skate with you?
Big fucking dick in my back.
It wasn't a roller skate.
Right. But what I will say and what I want to talk about is, like, even in the morning, like, there was lots of foreplay. So he was, like, rubbing on my tits. And, like, the best move that I love is, like, the back, like, reach around. But he's, like, very gentle. Like, a lot of men aren't like that, by the way. So he was, like, gently inserting a finger and, like, rubbing my clit. Like, he is so good at that. Like, I'm like, I asked him, though. I was like, who taught you these things? And he was like, Adrian, I just would do whatever I would think I would want done to me. And I'm like, that is so fucking thoughtful, you know? But anyway, so, of course, I'm, like, reaching behind me, like, stroking his dick, and he was, like, grabbing me all over. Oh, God, it was so hot. Even, thinking about it right now, like, I want to do it again, like, right now. So he's, like, I just, like, slip it in, and then we're, like, fucking from behind, right? And he's, like, grabbing my shoulders, grabbing my hands. Like, I mean, I'm into that shit. And then all of a sudden, I just, like, turn so that I'm, like, on my back. He's still on his side. And I, like, lifted my legs up. And it was so fucking hot because he could, like, now I can see him. He can see me. So we're, like, looking at each other. And I'm, like, rubbing my clit. And I fucking came. It was, so hot. And he was just like, oh, my God, I'm so fucking turned on right now. And his, like, dick's getting, I mean, I'm just like, oh, my God, you're so hard. I mean, it was honestly probably some of the hottest sex I've had.
Baywatch. You just got a new nickname. It's Top Gun. He's got a new nickname.
Listen, I mean, he is. Like, I was just like, oh, my God. And, like, he's just so handsome. And his, like, big blue eyes are, like, looking at me. And he's like, yeah, you fucking take it. I'm like,
that's right.
Yes, I'll Top fucking gun. Take it, bitch.
That's
oh, my
what
God.
Happens when you go inverted.
It was so fucking hot. I'm like, so I came and then I was just like, fill that pussy up, motherfucker. I mean, it was, oh God, it was so hot. I swear to God.
Wait, isn't he in the military?
Air Force. He is. So he could be Top Gun. Yeah.
Top Gun. You got a new nickname, dude. Right,
no. Baywatch is who he is. But anyway, so.
Screw you. I'm not calling you Baywatch.
Okay. Next time you hang out with us, you'll call him that. But it was like our hottest sex by far. So anyway, so we get up. I made breakfast. He made mimosas. And he like puts music on again. And he's like dancing. We're having so much fun. It was just an amazing 24 hours at Baywatch. That's all I'm going to say. Top Gun. All right. So listen, like I'm all like hot and heavy. That was just my intro segment. Let's wrap up that 5-minute orgasm.
It was a one weekend orgasm.
It was a hot fucking 24 hours. Oh, God bless. He wants to come on the show, by the way. He's like, bring me on the show. I'm like,
why not?
I'm like, I'm going to fuck you in that podcast closet. Like that's happening. So prepare yourself. He doesn't give a fuck. I love that about him. For real. It's so fucking nice. All right. So moving on, I just want to say life is fucking good for me right now. It really is. I know you've seen me through a lot of shit and it is really amazing to finally be free, you know, from all the shit in my past, like to move forward. And I don't know what's next for me, but how I feel about that is how exciting, you know, I don't know what's next. And that's pretty fucking exciting. I've been soaking up this single life and I've talked about this and I made a quick little list of gratitude the other night because like all the things I love about being single. All right. So listen, here's some of the things I'm just like, wow, this is really nice and refreshing for me. Number one, I can stay at the gym as long as I want. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym and I'm like, I can stay here. I can do more cardio or I can do whatever the fuck I want. I can hang out.
And you get to watch other people leave.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I'm not rushing home because someone's like, what's for dinner? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice. And then I also remember I messaged you and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I can eat whatever I want for dinner. Like, I was craving a Wawa sandwich. I went and got my ass a Wawa sandwich. I don't need to hear like, I don't want that. I'm not in the mood. Like, I can just eat whatever the fuck I want. It sounds so ridiculous. But remember, like, I've been in relationships for, Jesus, since 2007. That's a long time.
That is a very long
time. I know. So I'm really enjoying this. I can eat whatever I want. And then also blasting music in my house 24/7. Like, I'm really enjoying that. And a huge one, the house is exactly how I left it. Like, there's no shit all over the counter. There's not dishes in the sink. There's not, I can't tell what you've eaten all day because everything's left on the fucking countertops. Like, you know, like,
yeah, I'm bad with that. Like, I come in the house and I automatically just look at things. I haven't been in a relationship in years, too, yeah. But there was a while there where I was like, why is that coffee cup there?
Right.
Like, you know me. You know how high-strung I get.
Yeah.
I'm like, nobody took out the trash in 2 days. What's going on?
Yeah. Like, I want
you can just all relax. My shit. You can relax.
Yes. All my shit is where I left it. Nothing has changed. Another thing I really love about being single, I can fuck whoever I want. Like, that's a big one for me. Not saying I'm like sleeping around. I mean, I'm hanging out with Baywatch right now. But when I was in the Bahamas, it was like, hey, I'm going to go fuck this guy. I'm going to go fuck this guy. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Because I'm fucking free.
You don't have the guilt factor.
Right. Yep. So that's another big one. And then also, I love making plans with zero cares. I don't have to like check someone else's calendar or be like, hey, do you care if I go to dinner? Like last Friday night, me and Katina went and got crabs. I had the best fucking time. It didn't matter what time I went. It didn't matter what time I came home. It didn't matter that I was there at all. It was just whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's really nice. This is all new to me, by the way. So like, allow me to like tell you how I feel right now. So only my calendar matters. And I fucking love that. So another thing I like is like the quiet. And a lot of people probably think that's like not a good thing, but I enjoy it. So I lived alone when I was in college, in grad school for 5 years. And I loved it. I loved living alone and I'm back there again and it feels really good. Well, you know, the quiet.
The only person who's really going to take care of you when you wake up in the morning is you.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to bed at night, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to handle difficult situations, it's you.
Right.
So if you can't be comfortable with you in the quiet times, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You've got to work on that. You got to take your mind to the gym.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Everybody should be comfortable with that for sure. And I am. I'm proud of that.
There. You're there now. You are there.
Mm-hmm. And also, another thing I like is no televisions on. So I'm not a big fan of TV. I know that sounds weird. I definitely am not going to have the fucking news on. I'll tell you that. If I hear the news, I'm like, turn it off. But I like the silence. And I have music on in my house whenever I want, but like I like the no TV blaring in the background. Like, I'm very used to living like that.
I actually started driving without anything.
Really?
It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Without any like podcast or noise or anything like
background
that.
Background noise, yeah.
It's like yourself in your head, like confident.
Just having some downtime. Yeah, it is. And then I also like how incredibly spontaneous I can be. Like, that's really nice. Like, hey, Adrian, you want to go here? Yes. Hey, do you want to go do that? Sure. You know what I mean? Like, or no, I don't. Like, I can do whatever the fuck I want right now. And that's pretty fucking liberating, I gotta say. And also, I got my bed. My bed's not broken anymore. It's like, I have my bed to myself. Like, that's amazing too, you know?
Do you lay in it like a starfish?
Sometimes. Like, yeah.
I don't. I have the biggest bed and I still cuddle up to one side.
Really? Like, I'm a right, when you're looking at the bed, I'm a left sider.
Okay, that's how I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm kind of like balled up. Mm-hmm. But then I get back and look at my bed, I'm like, my God, dude, this bed's huge. Enjoy it.
You know what's funny is I'll go to bed and the next morning I'll wake up and it's like the whole right side looks like nobody's even been there. Sometimes I have my I'll have like my laptop there. I just like store the storage now. That's fine.
Yeah, it's another desk.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing I love about being single is I can use my toys whenever I want. And I'm laughing because, I'm sorry, but I forgot. Look, when Uncle Mo came in today, all of my toys were lined up on my kitchen counter. But I got to charge. I got to stay charged. But you didn't even flinch. You were like, oh, God.
That's probably not all of them.
No. But those are the few I'm using right now.
The few that are charging right now.
Yeah. But you listen, it's like a little charging station over right. there. I got to stay charged.
So like, you know, I have the same thing, but it's called a cell phone, a laptop, you know, a power drill, although that probably means different in your world. Like I have tools too, but
you know,
I was like, oh, well, I'm at Adrian's house.
I know. Yeah. How do I know I'm at Adrian's house? There's fucking vibrators and shit all charging all over the place. I've been like raging lately and I've been having good sex. It's not that that's like been a thing. I don't know what's going on. I need to like tame the beast down there. Like she needs, I like I told you, I jerked off 3 times today.
I don't know it's who's fucking taming like, who.
Huh?
Who's taming who?
What, when it comes to me and Baywatch?
No, when you and yourself.
Me and my pussy?
Yeah, okay,
I need
sure.
to name her. I haven't named her. I get these days where I can't function. I told you, oh my God, like we'll talk about that. I literally, like yesterday I ran home, jerked off. I had to, and then went and picked up my daughter because I was like, I have to get this out. Like, I can't function. I don't know how to explain that. It's probably a problem, but that's okay.
Well, you know what? It's not a problem.
I'm not hurting anybody.
As long as you don't think it's a problem.
I don't think it is.
So if you're liberated and you're obviously honest about it because here you're sharing it on a podcast, it's your thing.
Yeah, it is.
So just be proud of it.
I'm going to. I'm not ashamed. You know, and I'm not saying that I'm going to be single forever, but I'm not ready for a relationship anytime soon. And I really need to take this time for myself. I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to grow even more and take my time to make sure like the next relationship that I'm in, like it meets my mark and I'm okay sharing space again with somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just really enjoying this right now.
Can I add another thing to all this is you are an incredible mother and you've been spending a lot of time with your daughter and showing her what it means to be a free, liberated woman and powerful.
Thank you.
And she's picking up on all this.
Yeah.
And at a young age, this is what she really needs to see.
Well, thank you for that, because I'll be honest with you. I feel a lot of guilt. I think any mother that gets divorced, any mother that's out there, you know, in the world. And then, you know, the stuff that I went through with Prince Charming. I mean, it was gut wrenching. And like he was a part of her life, too. And now he's not. And that's really fucking hard. I tried to promote that, but I can't make someone do something they don't want to do. But it's rough. So thank you for saying that for real, because I've been sad about that because it's hard, you know?
Yeah. But she'll benefit from all this.
Yeah. Thank you for that. For real.
Absolutely.
All right. So now I want to talk about this article that I read because I can't stop thinking about it because it really resonated with me. So it really hit home. So it's called The Three Loves in Life.
I love the number three.
Do you?
You know why? Because people have a hard time digesting a lot of information until you cut up in thirds.
Hmm. I never thought about it that way. Don't they say things come in threes, right?
Things come in threes. Yeah. That's part of it,
Well,
too.
That's a lot of what this article is about. So it was written by this woman named Kate Rose, and her website is wordsofkaterose.com. She has a great website, and I love the things that she says. All right, so what this article really talks about is it's about falling in love, and it's like the three loves of your life. So the first one is falling in love for the first time. Like, this is the love that looks right. And this is a lot to read, but I'm going to read it because I don't know. I feel like, especially in this time of life, like 40 somethings, I feel like everyone can relate to this. All right. So falling in love the first time, that's the love that looks right. So this is the love that like appeals to what we should be doing for society's sake. Like, isn't that the fucking truth?
The white picket fence.
Yes.
The bullshit and, story.
Right. What your family wants for you.
Yeah.
And she talks about like how you enter it with the belief that this is going to be our one and only love. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't quite feel right. Or if we find ourselves having to swallow down our personal truths to make it work. Because deep down, we believe this is what love is supposed to be. Right? Because this type of love, how others view us, is more important than how we actually feel. It's a love that looks right. And when I read that, I was like, that's my first marriage. You know, yeah. It was like, Adrian, settle down, get married. It's a love that looks right. He's a great guy. You guys are going to settle down and get married and have babies and live happily ever after. It's that fucking Disney promise. And that's exactly what my first marriage was. My first love.
It's what you've been fed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's true. What she says, exactly. It's like what society thinks is right for you. And even though it goes against how you feel, because I did, I'm going to be honest with you. I felt a lot of pressure to settle down. I think I've joked about it before. Like, I remember I was at Thanksgiving. My grandmother was like, Adrian, are you ever going to bring a boyfriend home? And I was like, Grammy, my boyfriend's like being with their wives on the holidays. Like, I was just like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm single. Like, why is that so bad?
But how old were you when you got married?
28, I think.
That's pretty common.
Yeah.
That's very common.
But that was late. Remember, I'm the first generation of really like breaking through to that, like going to college and staying in your, you know, getting married later in your 20s.
I've never been married.
Yeah.
You know how many weddings I've been to?
Mm-hmm.
You know Tons. How many of them ended up in divorce?
Half, right? Isn't that
more
the
than
isn't
half.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot more than half.
Yep. No, it's true. So this first love thing, it's the love that looks right. So
right.
I was like, wow, that's me. Like that right. happened. All right. So here's what really hit me is your second love. So falling in love for the second time, this is going to be your hard love. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the second is supposed to be our hard love. The one that teaches us lessons about who we are and how often we want or need to be loved. This is the kind of love that hurts. That resonates with me. Whether through lies, pain, or manipulation. So that, I was just like, okay, sometimes it's unhealthy. Tick that mark. Unbalanced or narcissistic even.
Tick that mark for me.
The second one was narcissistic. My second one wasn't narcissistic, but there may be emotional, mental, or even physical abuse or manipulation. Verbal abuse, that counts. most likely there's going to be high levels of drama, right? Like when she was saying, I was like, oh my God, like, okay, this is exactly what keeps us addicted to the storyline because it's an emotional roller coaster with extreme highs and extreme lows, like a junkie trying to get a fix, right? We stick through the lows with the expectation of the high. With this kind of love, trying to make it work becomes more important to whether it actually should. And when I read that, that's the last year of my life.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. And she says, it's the love that we wished was right.
Right.
Prince Charming.
It's like your rebound. It's,
yes.
Rebound's a bad word.
No, not
I shouldn't say that.
It's what you're like, I'm good. I'm healed. I'm done. I want this. This is it for me. This is going to be right. Right.
You think that your second
mm-hmm.
one was, or you think your first one was the one you learned from.
Right.
And then you get the second one. You're like, actually, I didn't learn jack shit.
Yep.
I need to fucking go back to the drawing board.
Yep.
And the second one is going to slap you in the face and go, here's a drawing board. You need to experience something worse.
It kills me because Prince Charming, I mean, I met him in 2003. He was my happily ever after. That's why I call him that. I was so sold.
I have another nickname for him.
I know. But I'm saying like, this is for real. Like trying to make it work becomes more important than whether it actually should. That was my life for the last year and a half. I swear to God, wow. Uncle Mel. And when I read that, I was like, oh, wow. But then I think to myself, like, it's the love that I wished was right. And I do. I wish it was right, but it wasn't. So here's where it goes. Falling in love the third time. So here's where I start to get excited because I'm okay. Like, ooh, like this is hopefully this happens for me. Let's prove her right. All right. So this is the love that lasts, she says. So the
for
third.
Her.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. This is the love that we never see coming. It's the one that looks wrong for us and destroys any lingering ideas that we cling to about what love is. This is the love that comes so easy, it doesn't even seem possible. It's the kind where the connection can't be explained and it knocks us off our feet because we never planned for it, right? This is the kind of love where like you come together and it just fits. There's not any ideal expectations. Like, I love that because I don't have any expectations anymore. And it's just how the person is acting. It's not how they should be acting, nor is there pressure to become someone other than who we are. I fucking love that because I truly feel that. I want someone who loves me for me. They're not going to judge me or care about what a nympho I am or what things I'm into. Like, they're going to accept me for me or my podcast show, right? So she says this, we're just simply accepted for who we already are and it shakes us to our core. So I'm looking, like, where is he? Like, where is he? Where's like, this guy? I want that.
Hey, you know what? You fucking deserve that.
Oh, thank you. You did too. You
deserve that. No, you really, really deserve that. I mean, why hide behind anything that you've hid behind in the first two loves?
Yeah.
Like, or the educational experiences you experience in these first two loves, whoever mm-hmm. you, like, want to experience that with.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you to recognize what you fucking deserve.
Yeah. Oh, I do. That's the whole reason why I'm here right now today. My life has completely shifted. If you listen to previous episodes, it's amazing to me. You said you listened to my first one a couple of days ago. And you were, I mean, it's amazing the changes that I've made since that first episode. I mean, they were hard. They weren't easy, but they were mandatory, right. required to move forward. It had to happen. Yeah. So she goes on to say that this is the love that keeps knocking on our door, regardless of how long it takes us to answer. It's just the love that feels right. And I was like, damn, like, I love that. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, you know, because I did my the first and second love nailed it. Like, that was exactly what my life was, you know. I love how she sums up her article, by the way. She says, and maybe there's something special about our first love and something heartbreakingly unique about our second. But there's also just something pretty amazing about our third. It's the one we never see coming, the one that actually lasts, the one that shows us why it never worked out before. And it's that possibility that makes trying again worthwhile. Because the truth is, you never know when you're going to stumble onto love.
That was beautiful.
It is.
That is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love it if you read it again right now. Read it again.
The whole thing?
Read that one last line. Read that again.
It's true because you know how cynical I am.
Read that again right now. Do it right now.
And it's the possibility that makes trying again always worthwhile because the truth is you never know when you'll stumble into love. Yes, it's true.
I hope everybody wrote that down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I should write that down.
You know how cynical I am. I think everyone knows when it comes to love and relationships. I think, you know, for all that I've been through, it's kind of hard not to be. But I do love love and I do believe in love. I do. I'm going to keep healing, learning, growing, and getting myself to a place where I'm in love with myself so that I'm able to accept love from someone else. We've heard people say that before, but I really mean it and I'm really doing it right now.
Yeah, you are.
You know?
I see it. I see it all mm-hmm. the time. I mean, you know, times when we don't talk and you're just posting stuff on Instagram or whatever, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's from somebody who knows you,
mm-hmm.
I can definitely tell. And you're going in the right direction.
Doing the hard work, baby. Yeah. That's what it takes.
Do the hard work.
Yeah.
Do it every day.
Yep.
Take the hard road.
Well, you know, one of the great things I learned about getting older is that you have lived and you've learned, right? You know, my first marriage and then my heartbreak with Prince Charming, it brought me to where I am today. I have never been more secure or confident about who I am and what I want. And, you know, on that note, I just want to say, like, not only did going through all that help change and grow me into a better person, but it's also all the work I've been doing. And a big one is recognizing and working on my own personal values, core values.
Fucking men. Yes. Am I allowed to stand up and clap?
Yeah.
Can I do that?
You can.
I'm clapping right now if you can't hear me.
They can hear you.
A fucking men.
Yeah.
Be the fucking mountain. Be the pillar. Be the rock.
Yeah.
You are it. You are it. You've always been
trying.
It.
Trying. Yes. You know, you're the one that put me onto this. You know, we talked like in a few episodes before about core values. And when I was in the Bahamas, I nailed them down thanks to your reminders.
You always had it in you. You always did. You always
Thank
did.
You.
Ever since the day I met you and we talked about that rear view mirror thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just saw it and I was like, wow, this person kind of operates the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a good friendship.
Yes.
Let's go about this that way. And it's proven. It's mm-hmm. proven itself.
I mean, look at us. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Who'd have thunk?
All right, so let's talk about my core values. Let's talk about them. And I
let's do it.
I really do.
It's time to get down and dirty.
It is.
Let's do it.
I would offer this advice to anyone. Like, think about your own personal core values. And you can Google personal core values and pick from a few of them. But really, I swear to God, it changes your mindset, because I think about them now, Uncle Mel. I'll go, that goes against my core value. I can't do that.
This is what you got to do.
That's what it's about.
Break yourself down.
Yeah.
Put your head in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Burn your brain.
Yeah. It's been happening to me. It has.
Do it. Realize what's going on. Build your ass back up. Get back to the top where you belong.
So here's my 10 core values, by the way, in no particular order.
This is like the Super Bowl for me.
I love it. Let's go chest bump and then pound beers in the parking lot. All right. So listen, my first one is honesty. I mean, this is a big one. Like I said, no particular order, but my number one was honesty. I have zero time for liars anymore. Once you show me who you are, noted. Okay. Like, I cannot deal with lying. And that includes lying for no reason. That includes lying by omission. I'm too old for this shit. Like, I can't do it anymore. So honesty is a big fucking core value of mine.
So I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, be honest to yourself.
Yeah. No, that's the thing.
If something isn't for you, it's not fucking for you.
Yeah.
Don't fucking make it for you.
Right.
Don't force it. Don't try to imaginate some bullshit world that doesn't exist. I mean, it's not fair for you, and it's not fair for anybody else who's involved in it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Be honest.
Just be honest. I know. There's a lack of that around this world, let me tell you.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. All right. So my next one is fearlessness. You know, no matter what life throws at me, I can conquer it. Divorce, heartbreak, single motherhood, the motherfucking Bahamas, okay? Like, getting COVID and getting stuck in the Bahamas, you know? Like, I'm going to remain fearless. I'm going to. And I love, you taught me about David Goggins, you know how much we love him, his cookie jar. So you want to explain that? Because I love this theory.
I think we talked about the last time I was on here. There's a book called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. This guy, he's nuts. He's out of his mind. His process, though, is that I am the way I am. Don't judge me. If you think I'm crazy, maybe I'm normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he has this process, and it's about mental toughness. If you have something to do that's difficult, maybe you have done other things that are difficult. Those other things that are difficult, and by the way, I use this all the time.
I've noticed myself doing it too.
All the time now. Mm-hmm. You know that I've done a lot of like physical challenges and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I put it in the back of my brain. When I recently did a 40-mile race through DC, I thought about the mentally tough things that I did to get me through the physical tough things that
I did. Right, you reached into your cookie jar.
Yeah, so he has a place in his brain he calls a cookie jar where he stores these items. He reaches into it, and he beats the bullshit out of his brain, and he reminds himself that he's mentally tough to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You can work through challenges. You just have to remember how fearless you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So by the second one of saying you're fearless, it just totally reminded me of the cookie jar.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that. That's awesome. I use this like almost every day.
Me too. You know, and the Bahamas has become a big cookie in that cookie jar, because I'm thinking, hey, I've survived way worse than this.
Right.
Like, I was looking at my daughter. There was no food in the room. I was dead in the water. And I had COVID, and I made it through, you know?
Right, but so there might be another time in your life where you're like, man, I'm really hungry. And you're like, well, I do remember that one time when I was in the Bahamas, and the only thing I could do was steal crackers from my neighbor's door.
I know.
So guess what? I'm really not that hungry anymore.
Exactly. It's so true. You got to reach into that cookie jar. An amazing analogy.
And listen, I'm not getting paid by David Goggins by any means. I'm not getting any freebies from him, but I highly suggest for people to read this book.
Yeah.
This book has had a huge impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, it will unleash a little bit of mental toughness in you when you hear about what this guy's been through and the processes that he gets through it.
His story's amazing. I love following him on Instagram. Stay hard, motherfuckers. I love him, and he talks the way I talk, so I love that too.
Some of his funnier stories are hilarious
because
you hear all the mental toughness stuff, but there is a humanistic side to him too, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I absolutely love following him. I love listening to him. Incredible good shit, I'll tell you that. So, all right, so my next one is consistency. This comes in a lot of different ways in my life. So number one, the gym, you know, like just keep going. You can restart the next day. So when I was in the Bahamas, clearly I'm not working out every day. So I came back and I'm like, damn, I haven't worked out in like fucking 2 weeks. I did like go for a walk the last day on the beach. I like ran the beach or whatever, but that's not really a workout. But you know what? I was like, Adrian, just start over. The consistency starts back right now. Just as long as I'm remaining consistent, I'm not giving up for a year, you know, just because I got stuck in the Bahamas. So it's being consistent with the gym. And then also, like, I think about the show. You know, I went through when I offered Lauren to be my co-host, and then she was like, I don't want to do it. I felt like I wanted to quit. When that mic wasn't plugged in and Zach and I lost an entire episode, I drove home. I was so upset. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I wanted to throw in the towel. That would go against remaining consistent. Like, no matter what it fucking takes, I'm going to be consistent with myself. And so those kind of things really, they bring you to where you need to be. And you shared something with me that I really love. So here it goes. So first, it's an intention. Then it becomes a behavior. Then it's a habit. Then it's a practice. Then it's second nature. And then it's simply who you are.
You know, when I sent that to you, I looked at it two ways. It was on my cell phone screen.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it the way you should be holding your cell phone, it's right. Building a mountain.
Yeah.
Turn it around. It's building an avalanche.
Yeah. It's so true.
I want to build mountains.
Yeah.
And it is monumental about mm-hmm. how like one step leads to the other.
Right.
I think I told you the other day, you got to focus on that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just focus on the whole stairwell. I mean,
right.
When you're done, you look back and you realize you climbed 1 million stairs. You mm-hmm. never thought you could have.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that one first step of being consistent, it's mm-hmm. just going to take it.
Being Snowball effect.
Being consistent is, it does its own thing.
It does. I will say that's one thing about me that I have appreciated. I've always been consistent. I've never let a big picture shut me down from my, I mean, look, when I started this podcast, I mean, it was very overwhelming. I was like, who the fuck do I think I am? I'm going to have a podcast show. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But you know what? I started small and I was like, I'm going to buy some microphones. And then I'm going to outfit this little closet down here to be a studio.
And then you got photographs boom. And a yes. logo and yes. all this stuff.
Piece by piece,
and
baby.
By the time I met you, I was like, I thought this was like some national brand thing, let alone it was
well,
somebody
it
who just lived down the street from me. And
yeah.
look, it is now.
Yes.
It is now. Mm-hmm. High five.
Thank you. Yes. I work with Bespoke TV. It's an incredible opportunity and I absolutely love working with them. Big things are coming, baby. I'm telling you, like it's the sky's the limit. That's how I see it. So
no, the sky's not
piece
the limit. There
piece.
Is no limit. There is no
yeah,
limit.
Yeah, you're right. What is
There's
it?
There's no limit.
It's what is that? What is that line in fucking Mean Girls? The limit does not exist. That's what it is. The limit does not exist. You've
I've
never seen
Mean Girls.
Good. It is a kind of funny movie though. Like one of my favorite lines is like, she doesn't even go here. Anyway, we're gonna have to watch it. But remaining consistent builds who you are. And me right now, like I have raised my standards. I have stopped so much shit in my life right now. Like if I go back and, you know, I've been tempted. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? If I go back, all that hard work, it's fucking gone. And doing the hard work and remaining consistent is going to pay off for me in the end. That's
and
why I keep doing
right
it.
Right now, doesn't the hard work look more attractive?
Yeah, it does.
Like it's starting to look more attractive.
It is. And we're going to talk about, I talked about this with you on my last episode, opportunity cost.
Oh my God.
You know, listen, like we just talked about this the other night. I said to you, Uncle Mel, I want to take my daughter to the fair. I said, I really want to surprise her and take her. This was on the night before last. But I was like, I got to get this episode outlined. I have work to do around the house. And I was like, I can't. And you were like, Adrian, just go. And I was like, I can't because I got to stay focused or my next day is going to be all messed up. That was my opportunity cost. And I got all that stuff done. You know what? I killed it. And then I took her the next day.
Right.
But I had my priorities straight. Priorities is another big thing, by the way. But opportunity cost is an incredible thing. And you shared something with me. I'm going to read this. So you either get paid for the decisions you made years ago or you pay for the decisions you made. Wait.
Cut.
Hold on. You either look, I'm like, hooked on phonics works for me. You either get paid for decisions you made years ago or you pay for decisions you made years ago.
Doesn't that make so much sense?
The choice is yours. Now it does because I read it right.
Yeah. Doesn't that
but
make
it
so
does.
Much sense?
It fucking does. And it's true. Like, you know, the decisions you make today are going to affect you tomorrow, you know?
Right. Or like, like when you're faced with those decisions, you're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's that opportunity cost thing. I never heard about it before until I came on your show.
I learned it in economics in college.
I love it. Now I think about it all the time and I'm like, okay, so what if I hit that snooze button?
Yeah.
What if I don't get up extra hour early today and prepare myself for all the stuff I got to do today?
Yep.
Opportunity cost. How is that going to affect the end of my day?
That's it. You know, when I was in college, it really resonated with me originally was I was in college, right? I was broke as fuck. I mean, I barely made it through. And all of my friends who didn't go to college, they were all making 30K a year. And me, I'm broke as shit. Like I worked at Fridays because I was like, I can eat there. Right? Like I was like, I can eat meals there. That's how broke I was in college. I mean, it was a struggle. I didn't grow up with anything. So, I saw my friends driving new cars. I saw my friends, you know, in relationships and doing all these things. And here I was in college, broke kid. But you know what? That was my opportunity cost. You want to know why? Because when I got out, I was making double what they were now.
So think about that article you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And you broke it up into thirds.
Yeah.
Right? You're right. Loves. Your high school might have been your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Your second love might have been your college.
Mm-hmm.
Your third love might just be the real world.
Yeah. It's true. There's so many ways to break that down.
That college time of yours was hard.
Yeah.
That's like your second love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time where you learned a lot of lessons.
Do you want to know what's funny is I'm actually thinking of going back. So my ultimate goal, I don't think I've ever shared this before. My ultimate goal is to be a professor. So imagine my fucking students. They're like, this bitch is a sex podcaster. Wow. Like hot for teacher. God, that could be a whole porn.
It's not like my school experience at all.
But no. So I've actually been thinking about going back to college, which is funny. I'm going to be Dr. Hollister one day.
I believe it. Yeah, you know what?
I'm going to die. Dr.
There's
Hollister.
That whole phrase of like, whatever you can set your mind to, whatever bullshit, whatever. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Just cut the
manifest
bullshit.
Manifest that shit. Oh, I'm going
if
to.
If you want
to
do it, knock down the doors, knock down the walls, get in there, get it done. And if it didn't work out, who fucking cares?
Right.
You might have opened up different opportunities for yourself.
Listen, I had my heart, everything I've ever had my heart set on, I've done it. I was like, I'm going to get a master's degree before 30 because I know I want to eventually teach. So I already knocked that out. I can go teach and I can go back to school. Anyway, we're getting off track. All right. So my next one is authenticity, right? So I finally just started doing this. I am no longer ashamed of who I am. You know, my sexual desires are not something that's negative about me. The way that I love and talk about sex, it's okay. And at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks anymore. I genuinely feel that way. You know, I was going to talk about you. Like, you know, people will probably say, oh, you know, Adrian with Uncle Mo, she's probably fucking him. Because everyone thinks I'm fucking everyone because I love sex. That's not the case at all whatsoever.
Nope. But not at all.
But guess what, though? If they do, I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? I mean, so many people have criticized me for the show and they've said, you know, I can't believe you share all that. Like, you've shared too much. And I'm going to be real. I've lost friends over this show. But at the end of the day, that's their loss, not mine.
Damn right. My dad told me once. He said this. He said, if you lend somebody $20 and they don't pay you back, it's the best fucking investment you ever fucking made.
Absolutely.
So if those people are criticizing you mm-hmm. and they're talking shit behind your back and they don't speak to you anymore because you got this podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Fuck them.
Whatever. That's right. A different kind of opportunity cost.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a better opportunity cost because that saved you from dealing with their bullshit.
You're right about that. You know, you shared a quote with me just in this last week. You said, this is the quote. It said, there are a lot of opinions out there on how to do things. And a good portion of them are from the people who have never done said things themselves.
Right.
And
it's
so like fucking true.
Self-appointed coaches.
Right.
Self-appointed experts.
Yeah.
They're fucking everywhere. Nobody's a fucking expert. Shut
up. On anything.
Up.
Yeah.
You know what? You're doing what you want to do. If people can't give you the respect and let you do what you want to do, fuck them. Let them listen to another goddamn podcast.
Right.
You know what? There's podcasts out there on how to make spinach loaves or something like that. go fucking enjoy that.
That sounds terrible. Watch yeast rise.
Right.
I just want to say really quick, too, about the show. I mean, yes, it is a lot to put myself out there and to be so vulnerable. But the amount of people that I help, knowing that my listeners can relate to me and they feel as though they have someone who understands them, that's my why, you know, 100%. I'm not looking back. I'm just fucking not. So, all right, my next one adventurous. So this one kind of has to be one. It has to be on my core value list. I mean, hello, like the fucking Bahamas. Like, seriously, you just got to go for it. Showing your tits on the terrace in New York City. Like, you just got to do that. You know, it's funny. Someone said to me, they're like, Adrian, my favorite line from your last episode was, life is short. Show your tits.
That's funny. But, you know, you're so much more adventurous than I am. That's pretty fucking obvious. Like, I'm a little bit more calm or whatever.
Well, I'm just going to take every fucking opportunity that I can. Like, every chance I have to live, like, that's my right now. That's my why.
But your sense of adventureness also harnesses a certain amount of responsibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can go out and just be Adrian and just go do whatever the fuck you want and have fun and still operate in your normal life.
Right.
And still do all the shit you got to take care
priorities.
Of every single day.
Absolutely.
So bravo to that.
Thank you. My priorities are straight. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right. So my next one is positivity. I need to actually work on this a little bit. So it's so easy to dwell on the past. And I find myself sometimes beating myself up lately. And you've heard me talk about this. You know, I'll go on and on about things that I tolerated with Prince Charming. But you know what? Like, I can't look back anymore. It's that fucking windshield, not the rear view.
That's right.
I have to just keep moving forward. There is zero production. And when I look back, you know, I have to focus on, you know, the good from it all and believe that bigger and better is next for me. That third love, you know.
That's the first time you said bigger and you didn't go into like the dory fish.
Bigger.
Mm. There it is. There it is.
But that, you know, when you have that positive outlook, you were talking about like putting it out into the universe, like that's what's going to come back to me. And, you know, those people that are always negative or, you know, or if you're around someone that's always negative, like I have to focus on being positive because negative people, they fucking suck. Like no one wants to be around that. I'm sorry. Like I don't want to. Like, and what you believe is what you breed. Like I literally, what you believe is what you breed.
Amen.
I just made that up.
You
here I go.
I love
Look
it.
At me. Yeah, it's true though, isn't it?
That's awesome. You know, what you feed fucking grows.
Yeah, it does.
If you feed yourself bullshit, the bullshit grows. And you know what? We all know the storms are out there.
Mm-hmm.
The storms are coming left and right at you. The more you try harder, the more people are going to try and bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's obvious. And you know what? That negative monster exists in all of our fucking heads.
It does.
That's why that coffee cup says kick the day in a dick.
Yeah.
It's got to be the first thing you see because you got to start beating that monster in his face.
Yep. Every
you
got
to let him know I'm not here to fuck around.
Right.
I'm here to take shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll take your shit and I'll fight back.
Right.
Keep fighting back.
Yeah. Stay being positive, though. Being positive is the big thing.
Yeah. Stay positive.
I'm gonna do that.
I mean, listen, if this little iPad studio was a neighborhood and a tornado came through here, it's gonna suck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can we build it back?
Rebuild. Mm-hmm.
Can
Absolutely.
Insurance money kick it in and build it back?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get back to normal and have Thanksgiving and fucking Christmas and shit like that?
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn right we can.
Yeah.
Or are we gonna focus on the fact that
tornado came, yeah,
it destroyed my fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we do that every single day, we'll never build it back.
Yeah,
you gotta stay fucking positive.
I'm working on that because I found myself looking in that rearview mirror a little bit lately, beating myself up about the shit I've tolerated, and it's like I can't do that. I gotta move forward.
I'm gonna buy you a rearview mirror, and we're just gonna beat it up. We're gonna put it on like a punching bag. And
fuck
we're,
yeah,
hit that punching bag every single fucking day. Here's some truth here to something I'm gonna let loose. One of the reasons why I didn't want to come back on a show is because a lot of your show was talking about your history for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first person who went up to you and said, stop talking about your fucking history.
Yeah.
Start talking about your fucking future. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is part of your show.
I know.
I respect that. I respect that now. And
I got to talk about my sexcapades.
I understand that. But you are talking about your future and you're making it happen.
I am.
And that's awesome. You're fighting back. And that little mirror is getting smaller and
it
smaller.
It is.
And
it
smaller
is.
And
every
smaller.
Fucking day it is. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yes. All right. So my next one, my next core value, perseverance. This is a big one. You know, the grit, the grind, and doing the hard work every single fucking day, it's going to get me slowly to where I need to be, you know? And just keep going, like, no matter what. Like, I'm not dead. Like, just keep moving forward. And another big one I want to say is, like, I don't want to exist in this life. I don't. I want to fucking live. And that's what I'm going to work for every fucking day. So no matter what shit throws at me, you know, getting stuck in the Bahamas is very stressful. Things that I've gone through my previous relationships, incredibly stressful. But I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep moving on.
Yes.
Keep on fucking going on.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Shit fucking yes.
Yes.
Shit yes. Hello yes.
love your response when I text you. Sometimes you're like, shit, yes,
Adrian.
Oh,
my God. I mean, you got to outshine other people and separate yourselves from those fucking underachievers in life.
Yeah.
Perseverance is how you do it.
Yep.
Everybody is going to wake up and have that same kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But where does your energy outshine theirs?
What are you doing with it?
Perseverance
exactly.
is what's going to fucking get you there. I think I told you when we were doing this and I was like, you were like, make up some new core values. Mine was the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
The extra mile is something I think about all the time. If you go to like do something and you're putting in a certain percent, I'm going to put in more.
Yeah. David Goggins talks about that a lot. Yeah, it's just going further.
His 40% rule is what it's called. Yeah. Now, I feel like I'm going to have to get paid by this guy at this point in time. Like we're talking about
I'm going to have to reach out to him.
But listen, so if you think about the extra mile and you think you're in a traffic jam, there is no traffic jam in the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
So many people don't go there.
Yeah.
When you go there, there's a lot of elbow room.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to look back at all those other people stuck in traffic too. And you're going to be like, thank fucking God I went the extra mile.
Right.
It's
so true.
Yeah. It's going to pay off.
That visual, I can see it right now.
Yeah,
yes.
You don't want to be in the jam of bullshit. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the jam of overachiever.
Yep.
So just put in a little extra effort in perseverance and get there.
And it's not that hard to do because most people don't even get there.
You said it earlier. You spend a little more time at the gym.
Yep.
Spend a little more time with your daughter.
Spend a little bit more time.
You've been doing cooking at home and you've been setting up your meals.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Reading a little bit more. Trying a little harder at your job.
Mm-hmm.
Try a little harder at working on yourself and saving money. This is all perseverance. Mm-hmm. This is going to pay off huge.
At the end, yeah.
Like you're going to be a millionaire if perseverance actually gave you money.
Right. It's true. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't care about money. I care about life and I care about living.
So you're going to be a millionaire in life.
Right.
How awesome is that?
Even fucking better.
How awesome is that?
Yes. All right. So my next one is respect. So self-respect has become very important for me. I will never again tolerate bad behavior. And you know what? I'm going to fucking say it. Like, I don't care. I will never, ever, ever again tolerate verbal abuse. That is fucking abuse. It is. And I've tolerated way too much in my life and I won't tolerate it ever again whatsoever. You know, respect me, respect my child, my goals, my aspirations, and who I am as a person, and then we can make something happen. You know, like respecting myself and others respecting me is where everything starts. I really believe in that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Stand up for your fucking self.
Yeah.
You know, when you do, it's going to shock people.
Yeah.
You know, when like somebody's verbally abusive to them and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of your shit.
Fuck off. Right.
Guess what? They're caught off guard.
Yeah.
Because they've been used to verbally abusing other. Mm-hmm. We use that word bully as a term a lot now today's. I don't know if I totally agree with that term. I just think a bunch of people are assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call them a bully. I'm just going to call them an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call them out on it. You just got to live with respect for others and you got to also live with respect for yourself.
It's true.
And that part of respect for yourself is going to stand up for yourself to say, you're being a fucking asshole.
And this core value, by the way, stops things immediately. If someone shows me who they are for the first time and they're not fucking respecting me, you're gone. I will no longer. So like having these core values is fucking huge. It has changed my life, honestly, because it's just a reminder. And it's like, wait a minute. I can't tolerate that because it goes against my core values. It's a perfect fucking reminder and excuse to be like, I'm not going down that path to where I'm in a bad relationship for a few years. Like, fuck that. Like, if you're not going to respect me, you're out.
Say this every time you ever get in an argument with somebody or you're in a conflict with somebody, you don't agree with them. Just say, you know what? You can't force someone to respect you, but you can refuse to be disrespected.
100%
live that way.
That's what it is. Yes. That's it. It's your decision. At the end of the day, I tolerated abuse. At the end of the day, I tolerated a lot of fucking bad behavior. At the end of the day, I tolerated a lot of dumb shit like cheating and lying and stealing, you know, in my marriage. And it's like, I tolerated it, you know? So no, you're not going to fucking disrespect me anymore. I love that.
Yeah.
So true.
You're going in the right direction.
Yes. All right. So I said in no particular order, but I want to like make a note that this is by far the most important core value for me. In fact, none of my other core values even fucking matter. They are literally just like words on a paper unless I hold myself accountable. So let me tell you, there are so many temptations in life and I am not perfect. But I remind myself like when I think about like going against a core value, like how far I'll set myself back if I go against it. And that has all to do with accountability. So accountability is something that I've done, like, it's not what, I'm not one of those people that like looks around and says like, I don't know why these things are happening to me. You know, I mean, I make choices every day and the shit that happens is based off of those decisions, good and bad. You know, when shit goes down with me, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, that was me. That's called fucking accountability. I also think accountability kind of works in two ways. You know, it's like an admission, like, yes, I did it. But it's also like, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm holding myself accountable to these standards. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like accountability to me works both ways.
I'm like, hold on. I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm fucking standing because accountability is something I learned late in life. But oh, mm-hmm. The fuck well. Who cares?
Right.
Okay. Like, I use it now as a learning step on how I can stop fucking blaming others. Mm-hmm. Like, I can stop blaming everybody for my bullshit and realize that, you know me, I look in the mirror, right? That mirror was the first step. Mm-hmm. No more of this bullshit of blaming the rest of the world, and nobody is contributing to my bank account.
Yep.
Nobody's driving me to work. Nobody's taking me home from work. Nobody's fucking feeding me. It's mm-hmm. all on me. It's all on me. So you got to own that shit.
It's true. Accountability, man. We talk about accountability all the time. And I just want to say that, like, accountability is what really ties into me finally, like, waking the fuck up in life. Putting myself first and not living in chaos is because I held myself accountable to the decisions I was making that kept that chaos there. You know what I mean?
Accountability is also like a review. Like, it's a review process. Like, I look at myself when I do things in life and I go, yeah, I could probably do better than that. Mm-hmm. And that's accountability. And you know what happens whenever I ask myself that? I go, I will. I will exactly. fucking do better.
Right. I'll and
do
I'm not better. Saying we're perfect, but accountability right. holds you to that line. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It keeps you absolutely. Fucking accountable. Absolutely. Yeah.
And look at all the other things you listed. Mm-hmm. Honesty, right? Perseverance. Like, they all have to deal with accountability.
Right.
It's like accountability is the judge's bench.
It is.
And it's saying, were you honest?
Yep.
Did you operate perseverance? Yes, you did. You're
That's what I'm saying. Accountability is by far my number one core value when it comes to everything going on in my life. And I just wanted to share this because I saw this quote. I saw two quotes and I want to talk about it because I think I even sent it to you. So I watched this YouTube and it was kind of like a weird YouTube. It was like this weird music in the background. But this guy, he said, the less you do, the more aware you become. When activity is lowered, awareness becomes heightened. And that's accountability. I'm aware of the things that I'm doing that are creating these things in my life. But that is something so powerful. So like, the less you do, the more aware you become. So imagine my life has been turmoil and chaos the last year and a half. I cut all of that out and all of a sudden I'm fucking aware. Like, it's so goddamn true. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's the life I was living. Like, no wonder why my life was so fucked up, you know? And, you know, I was just talking about, like, how in April of this year, and you can hear it on my show, in April, my life went from, like, fucking 100 to zero, right? Like, it was, like, all my relationship shit, all of my personal shit, like, everything stopped. And it was, like, all of a sudden, I started to become aware. And I started doing the personal growth that I needed to do to get to where I am today. I mean, I literally went from 100 to zero.
That's amazing.
It was like tornado, everything fucking stopped. And then one more quote that he said in that, and I want to share this, it was spirituality is not something you do. If you stop doing all of your nonsense, then you're spiritual. And I was like, wow, like that happened to me. I've been living really fucked up the last year and a half. And I couldn't feel anything spiritual. I couldn't work on myself because I was fucking up and I kept doing all my nonsense. You know what I mean? So when he said that, I was like, that's some powerful shit. And I feel that.
Okay. Time out.
Okay.
Can I stop you right now?
All right.
I really didn't want to come back on the show.
Okay. I know. That makes me sad.
Yeah. But thank you for what you just said right there. Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense. And that is a lot of the bullshit I've been dealing with too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that I go through in my life, that makes me want to come back on. It makes me want to talk about these things. It makes me want to share it with you. I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us are perfect. And we all go through shit in life. And I do read and dive into these things. I get no feedback from it. Minimal I get feedback from it. But I just got like a total rundown with you on feedback on things that are making you better. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel so much better too.
You're a big part of that, Uncle Mel.
Yeah. I'm not part of this like midlife sexual crazy lifestyle. I mean, if you listen to the episodes I was on, we rarely talked about sex.
Right.
Like I'm not part of that.
You bring out a great side of me. I say that.
I'm not part of that. I do keep that part of my life like private.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say you've showed me how to like live a little bit better and how to believe in myself a little bit better and how to be more comfortable and like sharing.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Like how to show other people how to live better.
Yeah.
Because there's times where I say shit like this and I'm like, I'm not getting through to the person. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I shouldn't be getting through the person. Or maybe I should just be looking in the mirror and calling myself out on my own bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of that. But this right here is refreshing. This good. Right here is a, like, it's a lesson.
You've helped me a lot immensely in my life since I met you. And I met you through the show, which is so awesome. And it's been life-changing for me. Like, you're the one that taught me about core values. And because of you, I'm going to live a better life. It's true. Like, having those core values hold you accountable. Like, that accountability word, I love it. But
well, I think I sent you a text today, and the word I sent you was impact.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that with all the stuff we just talked about. Think about that with all, how many episodes did you have? How many was it?
This is number 20.
20 times you've impacted.
Plus two bonuses.
20 times you've recorded something that have impacted multiple people.
Yeah, for sure.
And no matter what the topic is, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not into, you know, your normal.
You don't want to fuck with a cock ring?
Like, yeah, right? No, I don't do like reviews of sex toys or anything like that. But you know what? There are people out there and you need to feel comfortable with
it. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're providing that for them. You're creating impact. That's mm-hmm. impact. I do a lot of mentorship or a mm-hmm. lot of like, you know, like self-promotion kind of stuff. That's impact.
Yeah.
Everything kind of links to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you went through 10 days in the Bahamas and came up with these 10 core values mm-hmm. made me realize that this shit fucking works. And you know what? I'm going to redo all 10 of mine. We're going to do a whole new set of 10.
Yeah.
We're going to start from the beginning. And I'm going to do this probably like once a year maybe and just go, you know
what? It really fucking works.
It's that time to make myself a better person.
Yeah.
Every single year I can do better. Mm-hmm. And I will through everything you just listed.
That, listen, like I said, for me to help you makes me feel amazing because you've helped me so much in my life. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Let's go outside and have a circle jerk.
Yeah. Okay, maybe not. I don't want your neighbors to be. I mean, there's those Ring cameras and stuff now.
Listen, so we've gotten deep today. Deep.
There it is. There's Dory. There it is.
Baywatch, I'm missing you. Oh, God. But, man, like, seriously, like, look at us. We are learning. We are fucking growing. We're owning our own shit. And we're making some motherfucking noise in this thing called life. We
God
are.
Goddamn right. That's how I want to live.
Yeah. All right, so let's move. So I have some exciting news for my next episode. It's funny, you were just talking about sex toys. But I've decided to do something completely new on my next episode. I'm going to do a breakdown of all of my favorite toys. You saw I'm charging up there.
How long is this episode going to be?
Forever.
Yeah.
All right, so Captain Morgan, Rosie, Goldie, Moby. How I name everything is fucking hysterical.
My whole life.
But I'm going to give a breakdown and like explicit directions, tips and tricks on how to use them. I get so many questions about them. Like I get DMs like, Adrian, how do I use Captain Morgan? A girl stopped me in the gym. She was like, please show me like what setting you put Rosie on. And I'm going to share it all. And if you want to get one of them on your own, head to my website and select links and you can get a character in my cast and get to playing. Okay. So also don't forget to grab whatever you want from adamandeve.com. Use that code CRAVERS, CRAVERS. And you're going to get 50% off one of most of all of their items, 3 free gifts, access to 6 movies and free shipping. Right? Like use the code CRAVERS, CRAVERS at adamandeve.com and grab you a fucking Moby. I fucking love that thing. Or a Rosie or a Goldie, you know?
Yeah. Like, look at this lady. She can't pick one.
I know.
She can't pick one.
I use two at the same time sometimes.
It looks like
I did today.
It looks like a parking garage under kitchen counter right now.
Listen, I got to stay charged up. Oh, God. It's just who I am. I'm never going to change.
Don't ever fucking change. I never will.
Thank you. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here all week. All right. So, Uncle Mo, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you. Seriously.
You're such a good friend. And thank you for standing very strong next to me in my corner. I need someone like you in my life.
Hey, you know what?
It means the world to me.
One day I'm going to need it. I know who to call.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say one day I'm going to be trapped on an island somewhere with a pandemic disease.
Just think of core values, Adrian.
Right. But you know what? There's going to be a time frame where all of us needs another person for the reason that we reach out to another person.
Yeah.
So like it might be something small, but it'd be something large. But yeah. That's in the back of your mind. And you know that now. And it doesn't have to be for me. It could be for someone else.
Yes.
It could definitely be for somebody else who's affected you in life that you appreciate. And you can go, you know what? I remember that time when shit hit the fan and I need a little bit of encouragement. I know how to do this.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm a lucky girl. I really am. Like in this time of my life, I mean, I'm really feeling very lucky, very happy. And that's a really good fucking thing for me right now. All right. So Cravers, don't forget, new episodes drop every other Tuesday now. So I will
see you next Tuesday.
I know. Listen, it's never going to get old, but I will see you next Tuesday, October 5th. And listen, I just finished my last beer. So add a beer, out of here.